Hear that? Up there in that tree?
Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, E Tiwi, this is me and all my homies love native manu, and this week we are talking about the kōwhiowhio, or the whio, the blue duck. And here with me to talk manu, as always, it's the Birdman. It's Pete Tonda. Welcome to the studio, Pete.
Morena, Liv. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Pete, we are talking about the kōwhiowhio today, or
yes.
The whio. Can you give us the classification of this manu, please?
Absolutely. Endemic, only found here.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally vulnerable. They've been in quite serious decline. They're one of four endemic duck species in Aotearoa, but the whio has really suffered. Mostly, it's a ground-based nester, gets hammered by mammalian predators, and we've got river modification like hydro dams and loss of riparian vegetation, a lot of other stuff we'll cover.
Yeah.
But it's really restricted their habitats.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, you know, we've got less than 3,000 manu today and less than 1,000 breeding pairs.
Yeah.
But some great conservation efforts have gone in.
Mm.
And the torrent species of duck.
What does that mean?
The species that live in fast-flowing rivers. I'd quite like to be a torrent species. Would you?
Yeah, I'd actually really like to be a torrent species.
Yeah.
I love being in the water, in the waves.
Yeah, it'd be quite exciting.
And just like going down the rapids and like
You'd getting a little... You'd have to be quite fit though, wouldn't you?
We could get fit. We're going to the gym.
I've been drying for years.
I saw Pete at the gym the other day, guys, lifting, doing some mean stuff on the cable row machine. It was incredible to witness.
I only did that because I saw you watching. The whio, they're very ancient. One of the earliest waterfowl. They sort of evolved tens of millions of years ago.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Special manu, and obviously very significant to tangata whenua. As we've mentioned, it's called the whio, but also kōwhiowhio. So whio in the North Island, Te Ka Māori, and then kōwhiowhio down south, Te Waipounamu.
Yep.
It's an onomatopoeic name. Can you try to say onomatopoeic?
Onomatopoeic.
There you go.
There you go. I've got it now.
Named after the male's whistle. So the bird doesn't actually quack, it whistles.
Yes.
And whio also means to whistle and to deal.
Yeah.
That's pretty special. Taonga mahu, manu, sorry, for kaitahu in particular, Ngāi Tūhoe and Ngāi Tai in the Bay of Plenty.
Yes.
And also a traditional food source. Can you tell us about that, Pete?
Caught by hand during molting
because
they, you know, can't fly, can't get away, and they can't sort of swim, so they're a bit of a sitting duck.
Yeah, so literally.
Or they use slip nooses hanging over the stream to catch them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, also an indicator species for the health of our rivers.
Yeah, they need very healthy waters, so good indicator.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple of whakatauki. First one, te whio noho awa, noho kāinga, he mōkai nā ngā tai. Ooh, what does that speak to, Pete?
The blue duck who lives by the river and makes it their home is a treasured pet of Ngāi Tai.
Mm.
So Ngāi Tai, based in Tōrere, Eastern Bay of Plenty, they used to tame the whio as pets. And they saw the manu as very much a kaitiaki within the rohi. So that's pretty cool.
That's fresh away. Imagine coming home like, this is just my pet whio. Yeah.
Don't eat it.
And another whakatauki, we're kind of saying, ki waha he taonga tuku iho. What does that mean, Pete?
Yeah, a treasure handed down.
Yeah,
and that's a pretty common whakatauki.
Yeah.
Widely used to talk about handing down sort of treasures of language, land or customs, but also used for taonga manu like the whio, who's seen as that kaitiaki and indicator species.
Special as. I love how our manu are seen as indicator species for the health of our Te Taiao. So yeah, that's cool. I love these whakatauki so much.
Yes.
How would you describe this manu, Pete?
Gorgeous, monogamous manu.
Good alliteration.
Mostly mate for life. So most of the time they mate for life, but I suppose if they, for some reason, lose their mate, they'll repartner.
Yep.
I've seen them during tramps on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful sort of slate blue-grey with this chestnut sort of spotting on the breast.
Yeah.
And they're really tame. They're not bothered by people. They come up really close.
So that's probably why in Ngāi Tai we're keeping them as pets, eh? They're easy to come into the fold.
Yeah.
Yep.
They've got pale grey bills with this kind of unique black, I called it a flappy thingy, but the lips sort of hanging off the tip of both sides, and it's called an epithelium.
That's another great word.
I know.
We need to create a dictionary of all the great words that we've come across during this show.
Yes, and that should definitely be in there. So it's an incredible adaptation that helps the manu scrape insect larvae and vertebrates off rocks.
Yes.
So it's like a protective shield to stop the bill being worn away while they're scraping the rocks.
That's really cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah, amazing adaptation.
And it's also can be pumped full of blood when fighting, and it sort of changes to a pinkish colour. And that's a bit like the teaki
wattles. With the wattles, yeah.
So they're multifunctional, but, you know, how the heck did evolution do that? I find
that's
that
crazy.
Astounding.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So
they've got dark grey legs, webbed feet, yellow eyes, South Island manu bigger than the North Island ones.
Interesting.
But they're the same in every other respect.
Okay.
And males are bigger than females.
Okay.
Yeah.
And interesting, because it's often the other way round, isn't it?
It varies.
It varies,
eh?
Okay. I'm making generalisations,
guys. Varies.
Don't listen to me.
So those males, they've got that crazy whistle. Sounds a bit like me after climbing a steep hill or any hill. Whereas the female has more of that rasping low growl.
Also sounds like you after climbing a hill.
Yes. I could say more, but I'll, anyway.
No, shut your mouth.
No, I get myself into deep trouble. They're 53 centimetres long, wingspan 65 to 80 centimetres. Males weigh a bit more, 820 to 970 grams. Females, 680 to about 870.
Yeah.
They can fly, but mostly they just hang about in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And they molt between February and May. And so they've got 2 weeks sort of being flightless, which makes them really vulnerable, particularly to stoats.
Yes, I was cursed stoats. And also, you've probably noticed already or may not have, the feel is on our $10 note.
Yes.
And I was wondering, how do you get nominated to go on the money?
I don't know.
How do they decide?
I don't know. The Kia used to be on the $10 note until 1981. Then it obviously got replaced by the Fio. I don't know.
And I was looking up kind of like birds on dollar bills around the world.
Yes.
And I thought maybe that's special to New Zealand, but it's not.
Nah,
there's lots of wildlife on money all over the world.
Yeah, we've got like the Kotuku on the $2 coin.
Do we?
Did you not know?
No. Okay, so sorry. People go look at that soon.
That's all right.
But yes, we've mentioned they live on the rivers.
Yes.
So yeah, what are they, and they're kind of scraping food off the stones. But yeah, can you go into a bit more detail about that, Pete, please?
Yeah, they're limited in their distribution. East Cape, Tuatara, Central North Island, and West Coast from Nelson to Fiordland. They feed in the water system. Mostly they scrape insect larvae and insects off rocks.
Mm.
And they have found in alpine areas some of them eating some sort of berries beside the stream. But that only seems to be in alpine areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just where food is, there's a bit of pressure.
Hmm.
Eating some berries. And, of course, ground nesting along riverbanks.
Yeah.
How do they make their nest?
They've got shallow sort of scrapes lined with twigs, grass, yeah, and down feathers.
Yep.
They also sort of nest in caves or under riverbanks and log jams and amongst dry vegetation. Monogamous pairs often lifelong.
Yep.
They've got quite big territories, you know.
And they're fiercely protected.
Yeah. But they're 1 to 5 kilometres long. That's quite a big area to protect.
And for one bird. Yeah.
And they lay 5 to 6 eggs, which is sort of creamy white. Late August to late September in the North Island, about 3 weeks later for the South Island. And I had read that only females incubate the eggs, but the male does occasionally when the female gets starving and needs to go and get some food. But most of the time, the male's just hanging around like a useless appendage. And when they hatch, they both kind of help nurture the chicks. But the chicks are out on the water pretty quick.
Yeah.
Feeding. And so that's the interesting thing. The chicks leave the nest really quickly.
Within a couple of days.
Yep. On the second day, they are in the water. So they're born covered in down feathers.
Yeah.
Eyes are open. And then second day, they're in out of the nest and start going in the water, feeding themselves. They get a bit of coaching from the parents. But that's really quick.
Yeah.
And I guess it's designed to minimise that vulnerability on the ground.
Yeah, definitely.
And the other interesting thing is the chicks have got really big feet.
Webbed feet. I really liked this fact so much when I found it. Oh, I just imagine like a comically small body
with these huge feet,
huge fucking feet on them. It's amazing.
But they have to, because the river systems there and are just like rapids.
They're a torrent species. Flowing. Maybe so, actually we wouldn't survive as a torrent species, Pete, because pretty small feet.
I've got really small feet.
Do you actually? That's crazy because you're such a tall guy.
Nah, I'd be toast.
And as for threats, we've talked about how they're a ground nester, so obviously a million predators are a massive threat to
those manu. Yes, those are big ones, but also the ruru, the kariaria, the kahu, shags, weka, the tuna take a few chicks, rats predate the nests and eggs, trout take a few chicks, so there's just an army of predators out there.
God, it's like they've got everyone against them. I'm like, what did the field do to deserve this kind of treatment?
Exactly. I think when you're that beautiful, you get picked on.
Oh, beauty is pain.
That's right. I wouldn't know myself. But I have observed that.
Not anyway. For us. We're two little freaky guys right here.
Removal of habitats, a big one. Hydro dams, getting rid of riparian vegetation. And Didymo, just smothering rocky riverbeds they just can't get to the food.
Exactly.
And increased flooding with climate change. There are problems. And conservation work is really challenging because they've got big territories, so large areas to set traps, and they can't be translocated to offshore islands like a lot of other manu have been saved.
Because we need the river systems.
Don't have the river systems, so they just don't have habitats on islands.
That's so interesting.
So patchy populations, they've got low reproductive success without protection, and there's a lot more males than females. That's a problem.
That is a massive problem.
Genetic diversity, also another issue, and that's made worse because offspring settle quite close to the parents' territories. So there's some inbreeding that can occur.
Oh, my God. Surely you'd know that. Oh, that's my brother.
Isolation does funny things.
Yeah, that's people, when you're up the bloody Whanganui River.
But despite the overall decline, we've got some fantastic conservation projects.
Hard out.
FIO Forever project, that's Doc and Genesis Energy, and they should be investing because they do the hydro dams.
Yeah, of course, Genesis.
Yeah.
It's got a, like, give something back.
Yeah. Yes, and the Eastern Fio Link, that's east coast of North Island, around Waiaka Gorge. That involves mana whenua, community hunters and fishermen, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
And they've reintroduced Fio back to Mount Taranaki because that's a predator-free sort of maunga now.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's freaking awesome.
That's fantastic. That's really big scale stuff.
You know, I went to Taranaki a couple of years ago. I had the best weekend of my life.
Yeah, Taranaki's awesome.
And now there's the Fio there in the predator-free area. God,
yeah,
I got to go.
All go.
What are we doing here? Let's go. Auckland, let's go Taranaki.
So lots of other projects.
Yes.
But, you know, but they need that because they are in serious decline. We just need to invest a lot of money into these manu to help them thrive into the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, a very special manu, and thank you for this, Pete. That's a, I think just a good, I mean, we need to take care of our rivers.
Yeah, these manu, they represent a lot of stuff that we need to do better, a lot better.
Hard out, hard out. And to finish off, Pete, you've got
my
a song for us.
Yes, My Sex, Blue Day.
Yeah.
Beautiful song, and just, you know, it's a bit of a sad song, but, you know, let's reflect on our beautiful Fio, our blue sort of duck, and think about what we can do to help. Look after it.
Aye. Kia ora, Pete.
Kia ora. Things are not always the way they should be. Words come easy if you try. Hiding in the shadows of your eyes. And I tell myself it's just a blue day. And it's hard to see it any other way. And I tell myself it's just a blue day.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was me and all my homies love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.